Okay, our reading tonight is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. I shall be reading from the ESV. And he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell on among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. The other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is parable, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with great joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones that are sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that are sown in good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. You know, I'm going to be looking at it from in a minute after our next hymn about not so much the corn itself, but the ears of those in the crowd who were around him. So let's stand and sing our next hymn, 600. Okay, let's just have a quick word of prayer before we come to the word. Father, I thank you that we can come to you and know that you are listening. I pray, Lord, that tonight, that as I speak, that the Father, that people will hear your words. Father, let it be ears that are truly open and ready to hear what you would say to us tonight. Amen. Okay, as you know, we've been going in the last few visits here. We've been going through Mark's Gospel slowly. It's been a book that's been I've enjoyed for many years, because I think it's the pace that Mark's Gospel moves at is great for the 21st century, because it just moves on so quick through the story of Jesus and what he came to achieve and do for us, that I just love it. The more I read it and study it, the more I do love it. You know, I was trying to think of a title for this. I've got a book I'm using as a guide to the sermons I'm doing here. But I've decided to call it Listen and Learn. Because, you know, what I want to look at is the types of people who listen to God's word, but also those who are listening but not necessarily hearing what he's saying at the time, and what they may have learned if they'd actually stayed around a little bit longer. You know, today we're going to look at, as we've read, one of Jesus' most famous parables. You know, for many of us, we've heard that story right from many years ago. It's maybe our first Sunday school classes. And we've probably all been in churches where a sermon has been spoken on this passage a few times. And, you know, we may be sat here tonight with an understanding of what Jesus was teaching the crowd. That's because as Christians, I believe God has given us that ability to look at his word and actually get an understanding. Because as he was saying earlier in the passage, it's, where was it? That they may... that they may indeed see but not perceive, and they may hear and not understand, lest they should be forgiven. And so what we're going to do firstly, I guess I could divide it into two parts, is that we're going to look at the two different types of people who were there that day. We're going to look at those who listened, and obviously those who had rejected his teaching. Because you know, in some of the passages we've looked at previously, we've looked at, haven't we, that idea that the Jewish people knew their Bible, and if you go and talk to a Jewish person now, they know their stuff. They were looking for this Messiah, and we looked at, didn't we, about how they had this idea of what the Messiah was going to be. And how this Jesus fella wasn't fulfilling what they thought the Messiah should be. They were, as we looked at before a minute, they were expecting this big military leader who was going to come in and kick the Romans out of their homeland. But and we've also seen, haven't we, that how Jesus' teachings was already dividing his people into two groups. People who would listen and believe in him, and those who just turned away, that they would dismiss everything he said because he didn't fit into what they thought he should be doing. So they thought, well, don't want anything to do with him. He's not the Messiah we want. But as we know now, he's the Messiah they need, and we still need today. They may even have had accepted them if he had been that political leader, wouldn't they? If they would say that if he could give a good raising speech, well, we already know he did that. How many of us just reading his word are inspired by it? But what they didn't understand and what they couldn't accept was that everything he was talking about was pointing directly at their sin, and they just thought they didn't like that, did they? They did not like being told what they're doing is sin. They thought they'd got it right, and from that point we will see that Jesus likes to spend most of his time teaching the first group, those who would listen and want to learn. They would all listen, as we know, but then they would walk away thinking they just didn't want to believe him, because Jesus says, doesn't he, he who has ears, let them hear. Now we've all got ears, I know, some are big, but what is being said here isn't about our hearing ability or loss of hearing or anything like that. This is about our willingness to listen, but then to try and understand, to accept what we were being told. This was a large crowd. So when Jesus was talking about having ears to listen, he was talking about their willingness to listen, not about ability. Excuse me. And Jesus, in verses 11 and 12, points out why some did not hear the word. Don't they? Just go back and read that. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but those outside, everything is in parables, so that they indeed may see and not perceive, that they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. The problem wasn't that they couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. The problem is they didn't like what Jesus was saying, because as we said just now, it was pointing to their sin, and they didn't like that. They thought they had it right, didn't they? They were good people, weren't they? So when Jesus pointed the scene, they got angry and rejected Jesus. They may well have been thinking, how dare this man come and call me a sinner? I've studied God's word for years. I've kept all the commandments that Moses gave us. I go to the synagogue every week, and he calls me a sinner? How dare he? See, they heard his words but chose to ignore him because they didn't like being told they were doing something wrong, that what they was doing was not right. You know, I think it needs to be clear that Jesus wasn't looking to make them angry, but what he wanted was for them to think about what he was saying to and how it applied to them. He wanted them to listen, but he wanted them to, more than that, to understand that he wanted them to turn around and be saved. He wanted them to say, yes, this, I am a sinner. I like this. As soon as we acknowledge that we're a sinner, then Jesus can come in and save us, doesn't he? And that's exactly what Jesus is doing today. He wants us to turn away from us and to go towards him. So let's ask ourselves this question. What kind of ears do I have today? You see, like I said just now, to these people that went to the synagogue every day, some of them would have gone every day. So we go to church like we are here this evening, and we may even pay attention to the preacher. I'm looking. Yeah, you're all still awake. And you may even say, you know, that was a good sermon he brought today. If you want to tell me that later, great. If you don't, that's great as well. Because, let's face it, we all have ears to listen to. But we can only say we've had good ears when God's word enters into and changes our heart. That's when God's word becomes real in us. You know, I'll give you an example that how people are. That's that most people probably like a bit of sport. We may even have our own favourite team. Unless it's Yeovil, then they got down. But you know what? That's not really important, is it? But some of us will like to go and see our favourite teams play. You know, it's Saturday morning and the big match is today. And our favourite team could win promotion. Or that vital cup tie that will see us going to Wembley. Again, if you're Yeovil or Bristol City, you won't be doing that very often. You know, we would have planned everything in detail for that day. You know, the travel is sorted, the team shirt is washed and ready. And we want to get to the ground early, don't we? Because we don't want to miss a second of that game. We want to be there to cheer our team on. Our team needs our support. You know, and after the game is over, we gather with our friends for drinks on the way home. We analyse every aspect of the game, including how bad the referee was, because the referees are always bad when you lose, and all the mistakes the manager may have made on with team selection. And you know, win or lose, we prepare to go back again next week for more of the same. So what really changed there? Well, nothing really, did it? Because nothing we say really has an impact on the team's performance or our hopes or desires for our team. And no matter what happens, come Monday morning, we go back to work unchanged by the weekend's match results. So you may well have been like me, when you go to church and you've heard that sermon and you think, yeah, that was a good sermon. Or maybe you go away from a sermon thinking, ouch, that hurt. Not because the pews are uncomfortable. Pews are uncomfortable, they are, aren't they? But we feel that maybe the preacher's touched a bit of a raw nerve in us today. We think, hang on, why is he preaching that sermon directly at me? How did he know about that sin? Or that I'm trying to keep a secret? Or that issue I'm facing? Because we feel like that sermon's been preached directly at me. I've been in situations like when sermons have been said, and I think, yikes. So I'm fairly sure most of us have, if not all of us. You know, but I want to encourage you that if you get a sermon that's like that, be encouraged, because it was a good sermon. If we listen, not just listen, but try and understand and allow it to impact our lives, because God's word needs to change us. But what we do next after hearing it is what makes a difference. Do we hear and then do what we've heard about? Or do we just walk away angry and upset like the crowd would have done? You know, the crowd there that day had heard every single word that Jesus spoke. And so in verse 9, what Jesus is actually asking them is, what are you going to do about it? what are we going to do about it? They heard everything. But you notice that only a few stayed to learn more. Few stayed behind to listen to what Jesus had to say, because they wanted more of Jesus. They had that desire to learn as well, not just to learn, because they wanted to understand and apply it. And Jesus will go on to tell them what the parable means, but first he reveals why he's teaching them in parables. As we read earlier in verses 11 and 12, I won't read it again, but it's about... But you know, Jesus is saying that he uses parables because he wants them to not hear it, just hear it, but also to think about it. He wants them to question in themselves, to ask themselves, how does this apply to me? You know, those who stayed and listened are those who truly wanted to hear the word. Because when we hear truth and apply it to our lives, that is when, isn't it? And that is when real change takes place. And as we read this parable of the sower, that is when real growth takes place in our lives, when we understand what it's saying and apply it. Growth happens, doesn't it? Jesus actually knew that this story he was saying would turn people away. But you know, I believe he was okay with that, because he wanted them to stay outside until they were ready to listen and understand. He doesn't want people to follow him for the wrong reasons. He wants them to follow him because they want to learn. And Jesus is using parables to judge them. But what can we learn from that? Remember, these people would have been mostly Jews at that time. They would have been expecting the Messiah and welcomed him. But they had this hard, the Bible says they had hard hearts. That they were deeply engaged in the act of religion, so they would not listen to someone who was coming and saying what they were doing in religion was wrong, because they knew better than this young upstart. After all, he's only the son of a carpenter, never went to Bible college. You know, the words of Jesus will either judge us or they will change us. We can choose to follow his words, to listen and allow these words to change us, or ultimately his words will judge us. So those who had stayed behind made the choice to learn more from Jesus. They would listen, learn, and it would change them. And if we listen to God's word today and we learn from it, it will change us. Ask Jeff, he knew what I was like 40 years ago. And I'm hoping he sees a different person here today. And it would appear at this point as well that Jesus was happy for the other people to walk away. There's no say, just come back, you need to listen to the rest of it. No, he's saying, all right, if you want to go, I will talk to these people here because they want to listen. And that's me today. I want to listen to God's word and more about it. One of the things I pray a lot when I'm preparing is, Lord, give me that hunger for your word. Never let that hunger diminish. Let me be always hungry for your word. And you know, Jesus' teaching isn't like school, for those of us who can remember that far back, or it's not like a training day at work where you have to turn up, where you have to listen. But your heart's not really in it, is it? As a driver, I have to go through periodic training, and some of it is so boring. It's boring because we're not engaged with it. If we go in to train like that and with an attitude, you know, what can I learn? How can I learn to do my job better? Then we will get more from it. And that's what Jesus wants us. He wants us to listen to his word and learn something from it, to learn, to grow, and to change, to be closer to what he really wants us to be. Because, and I hope that's us today, that we've come to listen to God's word, not mine, listen to God's word, so that it will change us, so that we become closer to him, isn't it? So now that we've had a look at biology lesson about ears and how we listen, let's talk about different types of soil the farmer is sowing into. When I was reading it, I think this farmer's a bit daft, isn't he? He's throwing these seeds into rock heap, onto the path, into the rocks, into the thorns. It's not the precision farm, you know. He didn't have a tractor pulling this machine that put the seeds in neat little rows in the good soil that he'd prepared with the plough and everything. So it was like almost perfect crop. This is a farmer. He would have had this cloth bag over his shoulder, and he'd been dipping his hand into the bag, grabbing a handful of seeds and just throwing them. You know, so I guess to some extent, that he would have little control over where the seed fell. But he used this as a way, because a lot of these people listening would have been farmers, and this would have been how they would have sown their seeds. So they would have understood. Should have understood what Jesus was saying. So they'd have understood the concept of where the seed's growing, and they would have understood that bit, but they didn't want to listen as to what that actually meant. And you know, so let's look at the soil. You know, sometimes it's about the soil and how well the seed is sown. So let's look at the soil that fell on the path in verses 4 and 15. So this is what the seed that fell on the path, wasn't it? You know, well, the devil is like that hungry bird that it talks about, looking for a quick meal. He sees the seed and swoops down and devours it. And, you know, because the devil doesn't want the seed to take root in our lives. He doesn't want us to hear God's word. He certainly doesn't want it changing us. So he takes it away from people as soon as they hear it. So what happened to the soil that fell on the stony soil? You know, in Mark, in verses 5 to 6 and 16 to 17, you know, these are those people, as I said in that, it said these are those people who accept the word and became Christians. But they came out of that initial excitement. But when times of things get a bit difficult, they fade away, don't they? And because, as it says there, that they had no root. So I think this is why it's important for churches today to nurture new Christians, isn't it? To come alongside them, to guide them through these troubled times. And there will be troubled times ahead. The Bible says there will be. So helping new Christians to become firmly rooted in the faith is as important, if not so more important, than getting people to listen in the first place. But then there's the seed, as we know, that fell among the thorns. These people accept Jesus, they grow, they begin to grow, become stronger. But then, as Jesus puts it, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. You know, it may be that family commitments crop up, or if we're looking at that sports analogy earlier on, maybe their team does start winning and they're looking at promotion and they get excited, and oh, maybe they get a promotion at work. And quite often we know that, for those of us who, if you've ever been promoted at work, quite often a promotion at work means more time is needed. And what happens is, because they don't, as the word says, they don't pull the weeds, or therefore God doesn't necessarily become their main greatest priority, their commitment fails. Or worse than that, I think, is that maybe they start to listen to false teaching, and the teaching seems to allow them to carry on in their sin, and makes them feel good about it. I've had discussions with some friends in America over the last couple of years about homosexuality. Some churches are now saying it's not sin, it's okay. They're actually saying, the word there is, it's not quite right, because it wasn't until the 12th century or whatever they think it is that the those words were put in after to tell them it's wrong. It's not what Jesus really meant. Yes, it is. It is. And they could not accept that they would not accept. So they started to believe this false teaching, and I think that is far worse. So this is what, these are the situations that chokes the truth of what God's word is saying to them. So there's no fruit. But the good news is there is some seed that fell on good soil, isn't it? Verses 8 and verses 20. These are the people who say, Lord, make me like this. I want to bring you praise. I want to bring a big harvest. I want people to come to know you. I want to change. I want to learn. And you know, God is wanting us to sow his words. He wants us to listen to his word. He wants us to understand, and then as we gain that understanding, to tell others. God's word says we are to become sowers of God's word. So although only good soil gave the farmer a good crop, when that soil produced that crop, it talks about it as a bountiful crop, isn't it? 630, 60, 100. You know, we may only in our lives ever leave one person to Jesus. But think about it. What does the Bible say about the lost sheep or the prodigal son? You know, God is overjoyed when a single person comes to life in him. So we're never to stop sowing that seed, are we? You know, I was talking about street pastors earlier, and you know, when I'm out with street pastors, I'm aware that quite often we are sowing seed onto rocky soil. But you know what? Sometimes I think we're only preparing the soil to be sown. I've said it before when I've talked about street pastors, that we don't go out to preach God's words on the streets. It's in fact, it's in the walls that we can't until we're invited to. But you know what? We don't just go. We don't go out to preach God's love to these people. We go out to show it, and that is far more powerful. Because you know what? That drunk at 3 a.m. on that cold winter's night, who can barely stand up, I'm convinced he won't remember a word we've said to him, or her. Quite often it's her, actually. But you know what? They come. So many of them. That couple I mentioned earlier on, they came back to thank us for helping them out on a previous visit. They see the uniform and they think it was us. But they're so thankful because, you know what? We didn't preach to them that day. We held out that hand to help them out. We held out that hand with a bottle of water. Preaching the gospel sometimes isn't about words. It's about that gesture, that hand held out. They won't remember the word. They will remember the bottle of water. And they may well remember the person who held their hair while they're being ill. They would then come back and they would say to us, why do you do that? So the seed has been sown by another team often. They'll come and say, why do you do that? And that then gives us this wonderful opportunity to say, you know, we do it because Jesus loves you. And that is the greatest thing we can do, is just to tell people. We don't need to tell them over and over again. Because if you keep telling someone something they don't want to hear, they will stop listening. But they'll never forget if you keep loving them. You know, there's I'm going to close on this bit of a paraphrase to quote, believed to have come from St. Francis of Assisi. Apparently there's some doubt as to whether he said it, but I think the words of it are true. So I'm going to use it anyway, whether he said it or not. It's this. It says, we are to preach the gospel every day, and if necessary, use words. And isn't that a wonderful picture of demonstrating God's love for them? The parable talks us about sowing the seed. You know, so we've got to go out and, I think sometimes sowing is that gesture, that demonstration of love. So let's go out, let's preach that gospel every day. and as Francis of Assisi said, and if necessary, let's use some words. Amen.